I want to read to you this email we received last week. Dear Reduced Shakespeare Company, I live in Brisbane, I'm guessing is how she pronounces it, Australia, and I just want to say thank you for your weekly podcasts. I thoroughly enjoy listening to them each week. They are so very entertaining, relaxed, and fun. I feel like I'm just having a chat. It's great. As yet, I haven't seen any shows live, but I have seen some snippets online. My brother and I traveled to the UK on holiday last September and had hoped to see the Shakespeare show while we were there, but our dates didn't coincide with any of the performances. Sad face, emoticon. I have been having treatment for ovarian cancer since 2011 and have chemotherapy at the hospital almost every Tuesday. The new podcasts usually arrive just in time for me to listen while I'm having treatment and are a welcome distraction and cheer me up no end. I particularly like hearing anecdotes about the shows and tours and personal stories from cast members. Unfortunately, my condition has deteriorated over the past few months, and I'm no longer able to travel overseas, so I don't think I will be seeing any performances in person anytime soon. Unless you are planning a visit to Australia? ? Until then, the podcasts will more than suffice. I wish the casts and crew of both the UK and US troops all the best for the current and upcoming tours and shows. I look forward to hearing more fun tour tales and antics on the podcasts soon. Thanks again, Larissa. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 392, Podcast for Larissa. Larissa, you are one of our oldest and dearest fans, and we've interacted so much on social media, it seems so strange to hear that you haven't actually seen us live. I'm so sorry we weren't able to come down to Australia last year like we were planning on, and that's a very long story and maybe the subject of a future podcast. But in any event, we are very sorry to hear about what you're going through. So I decided it would be fun to do a podcast full of tour anecdotes and personal stories just for you. So if anybody else is listening, that's fine. But this is really for Larissa. I sent out an email to the RSC guys around the world, well, in the U.S. and the U.K., and I got some wonderful responses. First up, my partner in crime, Reed Martin from Northern California.
Hi, Larissa. Reed Martin here. Glad to hear that we're helping a little bit in your recovery. It's kind of the opposite of what happens sometimes. We often are told that our performances leave people with a feeling of nausea and motion sickness, so it's nice to be doing the opposite. You know, here's an example of a time we didn't make people feel too good. There was a joke we tried off and on for 3 or 4 years that all three of us were sure was hilarious. We thought it was a joke. It turned out it was just a sentence. But what happened was, we'd be doing the show, and we would get into an argument, and we would slowly accelerate the argument until it was a real big fight. And then all three of us would stop and turn and look square at the audience and say, "What are you looking at?" And then we'd break back into the argument. And I was sure that this was absolutely hilarious. And listen to this sound right here. That's the sound that the audience made every single time we tried that, quote, joke. As I say, not a joke as much as it was a sentence. So, hope you're feeling better, and we hope to see you soon, either here or there. Bye.
Then from Southern California comes Jeff Marlowe.
Hey, Larissa, this is Jeff Marlowe in Los Angeles. Austin does these amazing interviews on this podcast, and I thought I could do something like that. So I'm going to see if I can get my son to say hi. Can you tell Larissa your name?
I am Dashiell.
And how old are you, Dashiell?
2.
Yeah. And can you tell Larissa who you love more than anyone in the world?
I love trucks.
Oh, yeah. No, I know you love trucks. Do you love anyone else a lot?
Bucket trucks,
yeah. Do you love anyone else?
Diggers.
Come on, really?
Dump truck.
Yeah, I think we get the idea. Do you love anyone else who lives in our house?
Cat Horatio.
Yeah, no, I love our cat Horatio, too. What do you think about your parents?
My parents are crazy.
Your parents are crazy?
Parents are crazy.
Okay, that went well. Do you have anything else you want to say to Larissa?
Get well soon?
Yeah, get well soon, Larissa.
Next up, also from Southern California, comes Jerry Kernian talking about behavior we very strongly, officially, do not condone. Officially.
Hey, Larissa, this is Jerry Kernan from the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Just wanted to say that I hope that things turn around and you get better and fight the good fight, and we're all thinking about you. So as far as stories go, little tour stories, I thought this one might cheer you up a little bit. It certainly does me every time we talk about it, which is a lot. We were in Albany, New York, doing the Complete History of America, doing a long run there. And as regional theaters do, they tend to have somewhat older houses. And sometimes our material is a little too much for some of the older people, especially when we're getting up in the 80s and 90s, which I think we were in this particular performance, this particular matinee. So at the beginning of Act Two in History of America, myself, Michael Faulkner, and Matt Croak, I believe, were the threesome that were on stage, and we're doing our World War II bit where we're behind the lines and we've got squirt guns and we're attacking the enemy or defending ourselves, as it were. So we're squirting, and we squirt the audience rather consistently, and usually it's fine, and they have a little laugh at it, and then we move on. But this particular day, we were squirting the audience, and a lady, an older lady, got up and walked out. And then her husband, or whatever men we presumed were her husband, and also an elderly gentleman, gets up, and he walks to the apron of the stage, the front of the stage, and says, "You better cut that out right now." And again, this is during the show, and we did not know what to do. But Michael Faulkner, being the man he is, the great, great man that he is, he says, "Or what?" I believe was some sort of statement as such. And the man says, "Well, it'll be you and me. I'll take you on." And Faulkner sprays him. He absolutely squirts him with the squirt gun. And the old man just was beside himself. And I think he threatened to come up there and kick all of our butts. And he ended up just leaving as well. Well, you can imagine that the audience, as well as Matt Croak and myself, our jaws had hit the floor. We couldn't believe that Michael Faulkner had just sprayed this man with a spray gun, with a squirt gun. But it was very, very funny, and the audience then went from shock into laughter, as did Matt Croak and I think for the rest of that act, as I remember. And it all turned out just fine. They had waited in the lobby because they were with some friends, and they didn't partake in the second act. But when we went on to the lobby, they were there, and we talked to them and apologized to them and told them, how everything, we just made everything fine, and they were perfectly happy. Just nowhere near as funny as it was when Michael Faulkner shot an audience member with a squirt gun on purpose.
Huh. I wonder if that's why we've never played Albany since. So let's hear from Michael Faulkner now. It occurs to me that maybe this story he's about to tell you is karmic payback for the one you just heard.
Larissa, I was sorry to hear of your medical situation, but it reminds me of a medical odyssey of my own. 4 or 5 years ago now, Mick Orff, Matt Rippey, and I were touring the sports show to Gainesville, Florida. And this was to be Mick's first performance in the show, so we were going to do an extra tech through in the afternoon at the theater prior to the 7:30 curtain. We were driving to the theater at 12:30 when I turned to Mick and said, "I think I need to go to the hospital." Mick laughed because it wouldn't be uncustomary for me to say something that would cause Mick to panic about missing his last rehearsal. Mick panics easily. On this occasion, however, I wasn't joking. I had a kidney stone. Now, Mick's side of the story was documented in an earlier podcast, but I haven't told my side until now. We arrived at the theater and asked for the nearest hospital, throwing the crew into a panic. They sent us to one. Mick, Matt, and I set off, with me writhing in pain in the front seat and the two of them discussing how to perform a two-person version of the show. Back in California, Reed was coaching them through different sections, saying, "You take this, you take that." I couldn't take any of it. Now, the first hospital we went to told me that they'd be able to see me around 11 p.m. That would be a 12-hour wait. In the ER. They sent us to an urgent care clinic instead, where I waited for an hour and a half or more to be told, "You have a kidney stone." And then they tried to refer me back to the hospital we had just come from because they were in network. As an aside, being in network is something you sensible countries with public health don't have to worry about. The urgent care receptionist, however, took pity on us, knowing that I had a show at 7:30, and they sent us to the best hospital in the area. Now, to make a long story short, we arrived at around 5:30 p.m. They admitted me by 6, and Matt and Mick went off to finish mapping out the two-person show. In the ER, I swear that RSC member Matt Croak was my attendant. Now, it wasn't really Matt, but this guy was exactly like him, and he was wheeling around his fancy standing computer station and cracking jokes about my condition and anything else left and right. And they were good jokes. Well, I'm not sure how good they were, because he shot me full of morphine and a few other medications I can't recall, because he had already shot me full of morphine. Well, because he had shot me full of morphine, the pain subsided and they released me around 6:50. I found Matt and Mick after a little searching and said, "Let's go to a show." So we got to the theater at 7:10 with 20 minutes to curtain and a cold dinner waiting for us. I couldn't eat much. We went on. If you've seen the sports show, you know that about 10 minutes in, there is a sketch about baseball, which involves Austin or I passing out every time we hear the word baseball, because the sport is so boring. Sort of like cricket for you Aussies. The presenter was not aware of this sketch and was sitting in the front row along with several rich university donors. She had been aware of the entire afternoon saga, however, and when I collapsed in character because Mick said the word baseball, she shot up out of her chair and raced backstage, asking anyone in sight if I was going to be okay. And then in intermission, she accosted me for giving her such a fright. Pretty much, though, the show went as well as could be expected. Now, as far as I can tell, there are three morals to this story. One, it is possible to do comedy on copious opiates without having to become a junkie. Two, the presenter is always right, even when yelling at someone with a kidney stone. And three, laughter heals. I hope we provide a little laughter to help with your own medical nightmare.
Michael mentioned Mick Orff in his story. Mick Orff. Kid Orff is a man of parts, as we'll hear, and as demonstrated in this story from Dustin Sullivan.
Hey, Larissa, this is company member Dustin Sullivan coming at you from New York City at the moment. And I'm really glad that I have this opportunity to talk to you right now, because I wanted to bring up an issue that's been near and dear to my heart for quite some time, but I've been scared to speak out about it. But I think the time has come to really put it out in the open. And I think a lot of people I know would agree that this is an issue that needs to be addressed. Of course, I'm speaking about Mick Orff and his addiction to mint lifesavers. Mick has been consuming these in quantities that really can't be described for as long as I remember. And while I suppose there's some possibility, yet untested, that the sheer quantity of those lifesavers could eventually give him superpowers, there is also a possibility for more nefarious consequences. Of course, there's also the side issues of, his personality and the shifts that it causes in his temperament. I remember one time we were doing a show in, I think, Wisconsin, and one of the crew members from the local theater, Mick believed he had stolen a pack of his mint lifesavers, and he murdered him. He killed him, and we've been covering it up a long time, and I don't know, I just think I've now, as an accomplice to murder, I've been living with the guilt for far too long, and it's time to come out and say, well, that we've someone's dead because of us, and also that it's just too many mint lifesavers. So Mick, if you're hearing this, know that I'm doing this from a place of love. And Larissa, I'm inherently pretty lazy, but if you wouldn't mind starting a petition, kind of a stop Mick from eating lifesavers petition, that would come in really handy. I think just seeing a lot of names of the people who care and want to see him, turn away from this horrible addiction, I think it really might move him. Or it might make him homicidal again. It's really hard to tell.
What does Mick Orff think about all these revelations? I have no idea. Although, once he hears this, I hope he will send me a rebuttal. How about it, Kid Orff? But here's what he did send me, Larissa, especially for you.
Hey, Larissa. This is RSC member Mick Orff contacting you from New Jersey in the United States of America, giving you a shout out here to say get well. And in your honor, I have composed a reduced song about everything I know about Australia.
Okay, here goes.
Australia, Crocodile Dundee, Foster's Beer, and Boomerangs.
All right, there you go. I hope you liked it. And wishing you all the best, and good day, as they say on Australia. Oh, shoot, I could have put that in the song.
You're listening to Tim Minchin, randomly standing here with Austin and et al. In Washington, D.C., and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can Larissa see the RSC? Sadly, you can't see us in Australia, but you can see us online in a variety of different places, some legal and some illegal. And you can see us in the UK for the rest of this month until June 28, 2014, performing the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged and Revised. And in August 2014, we'll return to the Pleasance at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, performing the complete history of comedy, Abridged, for 4 weeks. Hopefully, somebody will see us in Edinburgh, like, say, the Adelaide Comedy Festival, a Brisbane Festival, and bring us down there. Then in the U.S., in the last week of July 2014, we'll return to the San Jose Repertory Theater in Northern California to perform The Complete History of Comedy Abridged for a week. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. Actually, I'm not even sure why I told you all that. Larissa, you listen to the podcast every week. You probably know that bit as well as I do. So here's young and lovely Matt Croak talking about what happened that time when he got so close to Australia.
Hey, Larissa. I've never been out to Australia, but I did make it out to New Zealand. And what I remember about New Zealand is that we were doing the Shakespeare show. Now, in the Shakespeare show, we end the first act of me running off stage through the audience and out to the lobby with Austin chasing me. And then from the lobby, we go outside to outside the theater and then run to the backstage and wait for the second act to start. Well, in this theater in New Zealand, they didn't have a way for us to get from the lobby to backstage. So they ended up putting us in this closet. It was like a utility closet or a coat closet or something. And we had to stay there for the entire intermission. So here the audience is in intermission, enjoying their wine and their beer. And then little did they know that right behind them in the closet were two of the actors just sitting there waiting for the second act to start. We ended up bringing in like backgammon and chess to make the time go by. And then that also reminds me of the America show. I kind of do the same thing. We're in Singapore performing the America show, and we find out through the newspaper that the French president is also going to be in Singapore. Didn't think anything of it. So the second act starts, and I grab my World War I sign. I go walking on stage. Then I walk off stage. I grab my water gun, my war helmet, and my backpack, and I go flying out the backstage door outside to get to the lobby. So as I'm running out the door to get the lobby, I look to the right of me, and across the parking lot is the building where the French president happens to be. So now there are like four or five Secret Service guys, and they all glance this way, and they just witnessed an American coming running out the door with his gun, a helmet, and a backpack. So I ran as fast as I could, hugging that side of the building to get to the lobby before anything happened. To this day, Larissa, I have no idea how the world did not read the headline, Chicago boy shot dead, charging French president with a water gun, war helmet, and a backpack filled with toy binoculars, bras, and wigs.
Matt Crook created the green role in the original production of the Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged. Now here's David Ellis talking about what happened when he played the green role just this past winter.
Hey, Larissa. It's David Ellis here. Something that will always stick in my mind is the night that we played Nottingham Playhouse, where I came out on stage for The Last Supper, where we have a drop at the Last Supper that comes on stage with a metal beam in the bottom and a metal beam in the top, so it gets weighed down. It's a picture of the Last Supper, and we play all the disciples by sticking our heads through the various holes that are labeled. And I came on stage and didn't say any of my lines, and after that, the guys were like, What was up with the top of the scene? You didn't say anything for the first... I mean, we all know it, so people covered, but I just was standing there in silence. They didn't know that during the blackout, I had been a little bit slower getting off the stage than I usually am, and I'd been hit by the metal bar in the bottom of the drop, square across the nose. I was seeing stars. It took every ounce of concentration just to get back on the stage, because I was thinking, am I concussed? Have I broken my nose? So that was my excuse for messing up one of the scenes, being hit really hard across the face by a large metal pole.
But it wasn't all fun and games on the last Bible tour. As Gary Fannin tells us, it was also fun and drinking.
Hi, Larissa. It's Gary from the Reduced Shakespeare Company. As you know, we were doing our Bible show this past spring, and we went back to Ireland, mostly the Republic of Ireland, for the last 2 weeks of our tour, which we just finished about a month ago. And we were there for 2 weeks, but we only had 7 shows booked, so as you can imagine, we had lots of time off. One of the days off that we had was down in Waterford, and we decided we were going to find a nice little pub for lunch. We found one called The Ginger Man. We went there for lunch. And of course, we were, you know, had a few pints, and then we just ended up staying until it was dinner time, at which point we decided to go to an Indian restaurant. And Davey Naylor thought it would be a great idea to record a podcast in the restaurant, having had God knows how many pints. So he started recording this. The next morning, we played it back, and it was the most ridiculous podcast we had ever heard. It was so bad. Thankfully, that never got sent to Austin. And not that I think Austin would actually have broadcast that. Anyway, I hope you're doing well. Be well. Take care.
I wanted to tell you some of my own stories too, Larissa, but for the last few months, I've been doing this play about Charles Darwin in Chicago, and so I don't have any touring stories. And I guess I will say that doing an RSC show is much more exhausting physically than this Darwin play at the Looking Glass Theater, but the Darwin play is much more exhausting emotionally. It's like I have to have honest feelings and emotions and stuff. Very, very difficult. But one thing that occurred to me was, how cool would it be if we could just wander into your chemo treatment room and start doing the show? I so wish we could do that. We can't, unfortunately. But I tell you what, I'm going to sing my song from the comedy show, which has been talked about several times on the podcast. I'm going to sing it for you now, but I need you to help me out. I'm going to have to rewrite parts of the song for Edinburgh. So while you're listening, just make a mental note about the names that I mentioned that make you go, wait, I have no idea who he's talking about.
Ottoman onto the floor, and my very favorite joke machine was Mad Magazine. The knights who say knee, they just destroyed me when Arthur rode across the moors and Michael Palin said, "Someday, lad, all this will be yours."
What the curtains?
What's wrong with her? She's beautiful, she's rich, she's got huge.
Tracks of land.
My people. Everyone just howled with glee. Not just me. I love Looney Tunes. They were always so funny, like Porky and Daffy, especially Bugs Bunny, plus Chaplin and Keaton and Cosby, and now Mr. Bean. The Coens, the Zuckers, the Farrelly brothers, John Hughes, Billy Wilder, and a couple of others made some of the funniest movies that I've ever seen. They made me laugh till I cry, plus Laurie and Fry, and the Fireside Theater, and Bob and Ray, Lily Tomlin, and Will Ferrell, and Tina Fey. And Spinal Tap was my idea of heaven. It goes to 11. I laughed till I cried. I thought I would die watching Make 'em Laugh in Singing in the Rain or Woody Allen sneezing cocaine. Speaking of which, I always loved Richard Pryor. He was on fire. Gene Wilder, Bill Murray, Steve Martin, Phyllis Diller, and Borga, and Mel Brooks, and Farton, Red Skelton, Three Stooges, The Goon Show, and Fanny Price. I love Danny Kaye in the Courtchester sword fight at Animal House with that funny food court fight. I saw Bill Hicks rant and Second City improvise. And Louis C.K. and Chris Rock, Eddie Izzard, and Patton Oswalt is a bit of a wizard. And Don Rickles says racist things with a comical snarl. Melissa McCarthy, the nutty professor, Weird Allen, Stan Freeberg, Tom Lehrer, and Frank Lesser, and Groucho, and Chico, and Harpo, and Zeppo, and Carl. I can wait. The great Peter Sellers, so solemn and silly, and Ricky and Robin and Whoopi and Billy and Jonathan Winters forever had me on the floor. Ooh, and Carol Burnett, who was funny and generous, Mae West, Dorothy Parker, and Ellen DeGeneres, and Rhoda and Mary Tyler, and so many more. Anyway, I laughed a lot, but now I am fried. Because things are very tough today, but The Simpsons and Daily Show make it okay. Because if I did not know how to laugh, I would cry.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your stories for Larissa via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website at a Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, failed presidential assassin Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Karis Howell. No reason, it's just random. A special thanks to all the RSC guys for sending me recordings. Also, thanks to Richard Ead, who sent me a recording that unfortunately sounded like he was at the bottom of a well or in a mailbox. So it was a strangely echoey recording that I couldn't use. Special thanks also to Larissa's fellow Aussie, Tim Minchin. And thanks very much to you, Larissa, for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 392-1176th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Larissa, this is Dominic Conti of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. So good to be saying this to you and reaching out to you, although it's not as good as if I could be right there with you now, screaming this in your face. Larissa, you rule!
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.